just having boundaries and learning how to articulate them is super freeing.
It can be given verbally, in writing, or non-verbally, like nodding, smiling, eye contact.
Because really the other side of not giving consent is rape.
We wait for this positive expression of consent rather than relying on the absence of a no. Hello and welcome to this episode of Cheeksy Chats, our sexual wellness podcast from our ethical pleasure platform, Cheeks. We're your hosts, Helen. Oops.
I'm Helen, yeah.
And me, Ameza. And today's episode is about consent.
Yes, today we will be talking about how mandatory consent is, do a couple of role plays with each other to explain how you can practice giving consent in an unawkward way, and share some personal anecdotes on stories we've had with consent in both positive and negative ways. We'd also like to remind all of you that on Cheeks, we have a bunch of content that shows you a how to go through these processes we're talking about today, but also that the content we have relies very heavily on enthusiastically given consent and intimacy coordination. So feel free to check it out in the description under our little podcast here. You find a link and a code, Cheeksy Chats, so CheeksyChats. And with that, you can test Cheeks 7 days for free and look into the content full of consent. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you. Ameza, would you like to kind of go over what exactly consent actually is?
Yes, let's start with that. So consent is about communication. And consent is an expression that needs to be unmistakably stated, so not implied. And it can be given verbally, in writing, or non-verbally, like nodding, smiling, eye contact. But even with stuff like that, you need verbal communication or like confirmation. So we all know people who go like, I can feel if the other person wants it, or I can tell. But this is not a real thing. So no matter how you feel about the situation, it's good to ask or to make sure that it's actually something the other person wants.
For sure.
You're not like invading their boundaries.
Yeah, because I do think you can tell if someone's like, I don't know, not moving, or they very stiffly, that they're not enjoying it. And from body language, you obviously can tell some things or a lot of things, but verbal communication gives a chance for both of you to kind of reevaluate the situation and check in and make it safer and hotter.
Totally. Because I think many people feel like the absence or like passivity is consent. That you're, the absence of a no is like, okay, this means yes. And at this point, I also want to mention that consent is not a binding contract. So if you say yes in one moment, it doesn't mean that the whole time, yes will stay yes. You can always tap out if you're uncomfortable. Even if you don't want to do it anymore, if you're just like, oh, I'm over it, you can retract the consent. And also, consent now doesn't mean consent in the future. So if you consent to sex now, it doesn't mean that like 2 days later or whenever, that consent is still valid.
Yeah, and I think what you said, people assume that when there's no no, it means yes, but consent is exactly that concept, that is not true, that you have to give the yes for it to be consensual, and without that, you are crossing a boundary because you haven't kind of checked in. I think that's super important to mention, that the yes has to be there, and then the yes can be, retracted or changed or adjusted or postponed.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And the yes or the consent also does not apply to like multiple activities. So just if you say, let's say yes to a kiss, that doesn't mean that sex is also granted or the same yes applies to that. And there's also this more new model, which is called the concept of enthusiastic consent, or this new model is called enthusiastic consent. And this is basically the understanding that we wait for this positive expression of consent rather than relying on the absence of a no. Like, as we previously mentioned, that if one person, for instance, is just laying there stiff and the other person is thinking, okay, they're not saying no, so that means yes. This concept means the opposite. So you really have to look for the presence of a yes. And again, this can be verbal, nonverbal, but it's always important to seek for verbal confirmation.
I think it's also important to mention that there's kind of some states in which you can't give consent properly, which is if you are for sexual things, because there's consent is a general topic and it can exist for different things. But if you are below the legal age of having sex in your country, you cannot be giving consent because based on the understanding, you are too young to really understand what it means to have this kind of physical contact. When you are intoxicated by drugs or alcohol in a way that you are incapacitated and can no longer really function, or asleep or conscious. So as we see in the Disney film where they kiss while someone is asleep, this is not consensual at all because the person is asleep. And these things constitute then, if you do them, as overstepping someone's boundaries and sexual abuse and or rape. So it is very important to make sure that you are in a situation where all people involved can give consent and feel safe in order for it to be pleasurable and not a crime and or just
exploitative, basically.
Also, when you are in a situation where you feel pressured or intimidated or threatened, sometimes when you're like dating someone or in a relationship, the other person's like, but I will leave you, or someone else would do this with me, etc., etc., etc. So if you're always feeling like you kind of have to do it to keep this person or to be attractive to them, etc., 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 this isn't a safe situation or a situation in which you can freely make decisions, but one in which you are kind of coerced into giving consent, which naturally means you didn't properly consent. And you will end up in a situation where you are doing something you do not actually deep inside of you are willingly doing. You're just doing to please someone else, which is super dangerous and can be very traumatizing in the long run and exhausting and uncomfortable physically and mentally. And this also kind of applies to when there's clear power imbalances, which is kind of why relationships between, for instance, student and teachers and with your boss, etc., 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 are always very difficult because there is a power imbalance and one person is employed by the other person, especially if it's directly employed, and you kind of rely on them for financial security. And so there it's also kind of difficult to retract, especially consent, even if you were like, yeah, I want to do this, to then realize that they kind of have a lot of power over you and your career and future. So I think all of these situations are important to mention in regards to when consent is not really an applicable topic because there's just something that's not allowing the space where you can actually get into the convo.
Yeah, this situation where one person is very dependent or like at risk of being dependent or like in a weird situation with the other is not really a good one to consent or to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this also blends very nicely into one topic that we wanted to talk about, which is that it's unsexy to interrupt a moment or to say no or start with the consent talk, basically. And I liked your example of like Disney movies with like Sleeping Beauty, where she's kissed, because I feel like many movies or media in general depict just this implied consent, or like even romanticized this engaging with unwilling participants or like ambiguously consenting people. For instance, I saw this compilation of Harrison Ford movies, I think from the 90s or early 2000s, and like all of his romance scenes were like, so they like almost read as assault, because like he was like so invasive and weird. And in many of these movies, it's very romantic or hot that it's just like, oh, I'm gonna take what I want, and I know she likes it. Even if she says no at first, this no will turn into a yes.
Yeah, and I also think one of the things that is kind of discussed often in line with this is kind of this concept that it is unsexy to stop the moment, and you kind of expect people to just know what you like, because otherwise they don't understand you or don't see you, or it's not a real connection. And I think both of these are super dangerous.
Yeah.
So for one, this like no actually means yes if they're into you, because they are naturally always into you or something like this. Or that you can't talk about it because then that means you're not as good of a lover. And I think it can be kind of difficult because of all of these visual examples and also in novels and everywhere to know how to do a consent talk, because it is always portrayed as unsexy, or it just doesn't happen. So you're like, okay, but everyone else in the media is super happy with just throwing it down.
Just with going with the flow.
Yeah. So why do we have to do this? And I think it's important to realize, again, media is an entertainment source, not necessarily an educational one. Sometimes it would be better if certain things were portrayed differently, but the plot line is kind of, not really based on this. And so it is kind of challenging to realize, okay, but in my personal life, I do have to actually talk about these things to avoid hurting my opposite who I'm having intimate times with. And I think one thing that can help is kind of to do it beforehand. As we said, you can then retract or adjust it, of course, but especially if you're kind of new to it, to be like, what do you like, before the situation arises, because also in the situation there's a lot of hormones, etc., rushing through you, and it's hot and heavy, and so it might kind of be difficult. And if you've had a conversation beforehand, then you kind of have a guideline on what's okay and what's not. And then during it, you can, for instance, if all of a sudden you do want to be touched there, be like, can you actually, or be like, never mind, I don't want this today.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's kind of like a guideline or like a skeletal overview, I think it might be like a good and easier way to get into these things.
Totally. And it's also nice because you've sort of prepped the other person for that. You have the base to talk about that already, like the foundation. And then you can, as you said, you have this like skeleton from which you can go off. And it's also important because consent is not just about saying no or yes. It's also saying, okay, we can go as far as this, and then this stops for me. And that's why, without prepping before, it can be hard to find the right moment. Like, for instance, you had the date, you're at their place, and then, okay, when's the moment to talk about this? Because maybe you want to do things, you don't just want to say no in general, but you want to say, okay, this is okay, this is not. So prepping beforehand can be a very great idea.
Sure. And for that, we will now do some example role plays to kind of show you how you could adjust this into your personal life. In this role play, Ameza will be Jennifer and I will be the anonymous capybara. And
getting into the roles.
And in this first scenario, we're going to look at the anonymous capybara and Jennifer are on their first date. And they are in a bar close to the anonymous capybara's house. And it's going very well. They're flirting. Things are cute. And the anonymous capybara is now considering or has decided that they want to take Jennifer home. And so kind of decide to initiate a consent talk. And what's always important kind of with consent talks is to be quite direct and not vague, so both parties know what is going on, and to kind of ask questions and to also share insights. And yes, so let us begin.
Okay, Jennifer.
Jennifer, it's been really lovely with you today. I was thinking maybe we could go to my place after this.
Oh, thank you, anonymous capybara. I feel the same way.
I'm really glad to hear that. I just wanted you to know that I would be interested in, and then here you insert X, Y, Z. For instance, I would be interested in, I don't know, tying you up, eating you out, and playing with you with toys. And then Jennifer would respond.
Thanks for communicating all that. But tonight, I just want to cuddle, actually.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. And then the anonymous capybara could kind of adjust what their needs are for that evening, because maybe the anonymous capybara is like, okay, that's great for me. Cuddling's totally fine. Or maybe they can postpone their date to another day when they both have decided that today they're feeling very sexual. And this way you can kind of adjust, because you, because one person says no, and if you have the need to get laid that particular night, that's also okay. But then it's important to kind of be like, ah, yeah, then we won't match today. So today it is not the day for us.
Yeah. Or Jennifer could go like, hey, yeah, that sounds super nice. I would prefer to start with like cuddling, kissing, and then see where it's going from there. But let's start out from this space.
Yeah.
Is this okay for you?
I think that's great for me. I would, for instance, if the anonymous capybara wasn't super horny and really into Jennifer and also looking for a cuddle, be like, yes, I think that's lovely. I'd like to take you home to cuddle, and then we can do another check-in at some point, but there's no pressure from my side, and we can also wait a while.
Yes. And of course, these like discussions or dialogues can seem a bit like clinical or very official, but in the moment, of course, you can design it more casual or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think it's kind of nice to have some sort of very formal aspects to it too, where you kind of get out of this like flirty energy and are kind of like serious about it. Like, I want to do this or this. And what are you looking for? Yeah. And also to communicate, for instance, if the anonymous capybara is only looking for sex, to communicate that, and also only for one night stands, because this is also important for some people to know, because some people, for instance, don't enjoy one night stands and want to see you several times. But if the anonymous capybara is like, I don't want to cuddle, I want to have sex, and I also only want to see you tonight, I'm really enjoying it, but this is kind of the phase in my life where I'm at, to be able to communicate that, and also to have more general questions about like protection or any issues you may have. For instance, I've experienced when my opposite said, for instance, like, yeah, I experience pain sometimes, or I need this and that to be slowly done, or I need a lot of warm-up time, or things like that.
Yeah, like the start. Or like starter questions like that give you good opportunities to branch out into topics like protection, what you need from these acts specifically. So it's very good to be direct.
Yeah. Also with things like staying over, a lot of the time people assume that they have to stay over or that they can't stay over. So also talking about that, like, would you like me to stay or should I leave? And for some people, it's also a deal breaker, for instance, if they can't stay over because they really need this like prolonged aftercare of cuddling all night. And others are like, okay, no, I prefer to sleep in my own space and alone.
Your flat smells.
After the endorphin rush of the sex, gotta go.
I'm clear-headed. Sorry.
So yeah, this is kind of going about it on a first date. We also, in our one of our episodes, spoke about in this consent talk, also putting in things like, I personally don't orgasm that easily, et cetera, et cetera. Or if you have some sort of previous traumatic experiences, so it's super important that, for instance, certain areas of your body don't get touched or certain dirty talk, et cetera, et cetera, or certain positions don't happen. It's also super important to communicate it there so you avoid any situations in which you could be re-traumatized, but also just mentioning that this has happened to you and that sometimes it's difficult for you also allows the other person to kind of be a bit more alert, I guess, aware, to realize also that there are some background stories and that they kind of have to look out.
Yeah. And this is where the directness again helps. Like, for instance, the anonymous capybara told me I like this, that, and this. And then Jennifer can go like, hey, that's all cool, except the tying up. That's not for me. But let's go with the rest.
Yeah. And then the anonymous capybara can be like, that sounds great. Woo! And then the duo can go home together. Now, in our second scenario, Jennifer and the anonymous capybara have now been together for several years.
Oh my god, it's going so well.
They're really going well. The initial cuddling, going on to the things. They still haven't tied each other up because Jennifer doesn't like it and never gave consent. And that's totally fine with the anonymous capybara because boundaries are to be respected. And the duo has now decided that they would like to test out anal play a bit more. And this brings us kind of into a topic where this concept of informed consent is interesting because it's difficult to give consent on something you haven't tried before because you do not know if you will like it. And so one strategy that can be done is kind of we make a list of practices. So for instance, fingering with toys, penetration, licking, etc., etc. And then you can also find these on the internet.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then separately from each other, kind of note down which ones you would be willing to try and which ones you might be willing to try. And some might be a complete no that you don't want to do and or receive. And then you can come back together and kind of check each other's lists and be like, ah, okay, you really do not want anal penetration. That's fine. Then we won't do it. But we both really want to try this. So maybe let's start in this area. One thing to do is kind of the safe words. So for instance, Jennifer.
Hey, capybara.
I think it's great that we both want to try fingering each other's anuses. I would love to. Fabulous. What a day. I've been waiting so long for this. I'm so excited. I will go on the outside first and then slowly go in. Feel free to comment on how things feel, but if there's a hard no or something, you're uncomfortable, what would you like your safe word to be?
Cucumber 4.
Okay, great. And then we would proceed. And if something happens, for instance, I don't know, it hurts, Jennifer would...
Then I will use my safe word. Yeah.
The cucumber 4. And then, of course, the anonymous capybara would immediately stop. and check in if the other, as if Jennifer is feeling okay, and then they could kind of decide if this is something they want to try again at a later point, or if they want to calm down, or if they want to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. Because just because you've used your safe word doesn't mean you're suddenly unturned on. It can just kind of be like, ah, no, this is not it.
This Let's not maybe the move.
Yeah. Move on to another move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as we said in another episode, I think in the anal one, it also doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen on the same day or like in the same moment. So maybe the fingering is not working out today, but maybe next week. So maybe you want to try again another time.
For sure.
What's also interesting is that these safe words can also function as gestures, as you described before. Yeah. For instance, if you've struggled verbalizing it in the moment, some gestures like tapping or like a specific rhythm can be a nice way of communicating this stop or this boundary.
Yeah, I think, we briefly talked about it before because I do struggle with giving verbal consent, especially in the moment, before the moment not. Mm-hmm. I can be very clear on what I want and what I don't want. But in the moment, there's always just a lot going on. It's kind of like sensory overload.
Yeah.
So it's difficult sometimes for me to verbalize it. And then I always show my partners how I do it. I tap 3 times mm-hmm. on their body and they know, okay, I will stop. And that's kind of practical. I can only recommend. But I think it's also kind of important to find what works for you.
Totally.
To kind of test it with each other. And also, just because something was your safe word last time, it also doesn't always have to be the same. For instance, cucumber 4 is a very long safe word if you want something to stop immediately.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see and adjust that 4. For yourself. Yeah, maybe a one syllable word might be easier, but you can kind of see for yourself. And some people also, instead of having one clear safe word, use the system of a traffic light.
Like red light, green light.
Mm-hmm. Where, for instance, I don't know, the anonymous capybara has proceeded to spank Jennifer mm-hmm. with, I don't know, a spoon, like a cooking spoon, you know, those wood ones.
Like a ladle?
Yeah, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And then the anonymous capybara can always check in and be like, what light is this for you? And then...
Yes, that's also what I want to mention in general. Like, even outside of the safe words, it can be very nice to check in. Like, even if anonymous capybara is not using any safe words, I can be like, hey, does this feel good? Or are you good? Do you feel pain? Especially with anal, maybe.
Yeah, and the traffic light system exactly works kind of like that, that the anonymous capybara would ask, is this good or is it too strong? And then it would be green light for this is great, yellow light for kind of like, it's okay, but that could either mean make it softer or harder, you know, depending on, and red light means like, no, kind of the same function as the safe word then, to be like, okay, then... Yeah, to adjust. And I think, that's also important that you don't only rely on someone safe wording you, but also to actually check in and be like, do you like this? And also with that, asking very clear questions. For instance, like, do you like it when I touch you there? Or do you like it when I lick here? Or are you... So, of course, you don't have to question every single millisecond of what you're doing.
Yeah,
but
this can be annoying.
Yeah. If you have discussed it before and kind of know, then, and also when you get to know each other better, of course, you know more of what the person likes and or doesn't like, which also makes it more relaxing sometimes to be able to kind of give consent or retract it because you're feeling more comfortable.
Yeah, you can also go like, hey, do you want to try this again?
Yeah.
And in general, those practices help to just make it a safer space, like make your relationship to sex or your body more safe and more nicer.
For sure. And I think in order to do that, asking yes or no questions that you could technically also answer with maybe and elaborate on are very easy. But if you ask someone like, so how was it for you? You answer something like, yeah, it was nice, but you don't specifically, you know, go into, so at this moment I thought this, but if someone specifically is like, so this, did you like this and that? And I think that's also, we talked a lot about consent before, but I think in the aftercare, so after you're done having sex, kind of laying together or showering together or having a snack, however you like to aftercare, to be like, ah, so we did this, how did you feel about it? And maybe also you really liked something they did and they otherwise wouldn't necessarily find out because it's not talked about.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think probably not just for me, but for many people, the question, how was it for you, triggered a lot. Like afterwards, oh, how was it? Yeah, it was nice. All of it, very good.
And I kind of like the aftercare talk, but I'm also like very intense about it because I'm like, did you like this? Like a little, I'm super excited.
You also the, like the adrenaline rush. Yeah, like, multiple choice.
And usually the other person's like calm and like napping a bit. And I'm like, so.
Getting out the glasses and be like, okay, so
let's
at minute 13, you.
I do try to be a bit more calm and cool about it now, especially when new things are trying to always like very excited to find out.
Oh, that's cute.
I just for me, post sex talk is also like post game talk, you know? Like, so, what
you're
did we do today?
Yeah. You were not in position.
If you would move your hand a bit more to the left, I feel like we would have a clear shot at an orgasm today.
But again, no go. This is like a perfect transition to personal anecdotes.
Yeah, I feel like so too. Yeah, we talked about it because I feel like with consent, people tell a lot of negative stories and we obviously also have a bunch, but we're going to do both. We're going to talk about like nice experiences and how also... I don't know if you will, but how my sex life has changed. I don't know. Don't want to assume. Don't have to tell me everything. Since kind of being more in this concept of enthusiastically practicing consent and being, I am very strict with it, with my consent giving structure and receiving and
Yeah, I need to increase that, I think. Because I've been in many situations where I'm like, okay, what's happening? Leave me alone. Or you're a bit too friendly and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, why are you on me?
How do I get rid of you now?
But I think what's interesting about the communicating consent beforehand is that in theory, like dating apps are very good for that. But I think sometimes it works out. In reality, sometimes it's not because people are saying stuff that's not necessarily true. But I mean, that happens all the time. But I've heard lots of good stories from Field, for instance. I don't know if we can drop the name.
We can drop the name. It's been a life-changing app for me, for instance.
Yeah, this is an app where people... This is not an app, by the way.
Yeah, it really isn't. Sorry, yeah. There's a bunch of apps like this. So.
Yeah, but this is an example for an app where people communicate their wishes, boundaries, or like their kinks even very openly, right?
Yeah, which is very nice, especially when you're looking for sex center dates to kind of figure out if someone's super into something you don't like to be like, ah, okay, then we will not have satisfying sex. And if you then find people who want the exact same things as you, it can also be very fun and very liberating in that. And I think in this space of then going on dates, I kind of, because I never did previous consent talks. And I was at a workshop, at a cheeks workshop, actually, a live one, I don't know, 2 years ago, where there was kind of like a sheet passed around and you had to do a role play. Like we just did,
so
you're on
where,
a first
where
date.
This is coming
yeah,
from.
Full circle. Yeah. Credits to Cleo King, our Pleasure Academy head, who
Woo.
Yeah. introduced me to this, where it was really specific questions and you role played as if you were on a date and what you want and what you don't want. And it was such a game changer for me. And then I got this app and saw what people liked and didn't like. And then I also was at sex therapy at some point in the thing of this. And she mm-hmm. talked to me about being very clear with like issues I have at the beginning. And so I remember the first time I went on one of these dates, and it was with a man, and he was very chill. And we kind of just had a snack or something near my house. And then he like asked, he was like, so what do you like? And I was like, okay, cool. And then I kind of spoke and also explained my issues. And I just monologued for a couple of minutes. And he was like, okay, great. Good to know. Thank you for telling me. And then he kind of spoke about things. And then we went to my house and it was, the sex was super nice. But I think the most exciting part was I was so relieved because I was so unstressed.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I felt so safe and kind of secure knowing that there was some kind of structure for this interaction where I wasn't like afraid to kind of have, I don't know, panic attack or anything. Hmm. So I was, I don't know, super happy. And ever since I've been dating a lot on the app, or yeah, sometimes more, sometimes less. Life's also busy. Also have other things to do than to date. Dating is also exhausting. But I must say that it really has helped me. And ever since, I've also been on dates with people who aren't on the app, but I'm now very open and I just do the little consent talk and ask the questions. And I notice that sometimes, especially when I do it with men, they're sometimes surprised or uncomfortable and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I wasn't expecting this, but kind of are all then, I don't know, happy to chat. And I like, okay, cool. She like genuinely cares and wants to make it a good experience. And okay, so yeah. Really doing this consent talk has changed my sex life so much and my dating life. And it's just exponentially gotten better. I'm not going to lie.
That's so nice though. I feel like that's the thing about this consent talk or like expressing boundaries, because many people think it's awkward or feel uncomfortable by it, but I feel it's oftentimes an opportunity or like an icebreaker even, and to have it out in the open instead of like in the act, that then it's even more awkward or like even triggering, uncomfortable. So it's much nicer to just have it there and then going from that.
For sure, it really is. But then there's also situations sometimes where you just don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in negative ways, for instance, I was on a date, I don't know, a while ago, and it was not going well.
Yeah.
I was super excited for the date beforehand because we had texted and I thought, ah, this is going to be nice. And then we went on the date and it was a very awkward date. I was very confused, and at the end of the date they just kissed me, like we hugged and then they turned and kissed me and really started kissing me, and I was oh. like, what is going on? I was so confused because I also had given, in my opinion, zero signals, and I have this tendency to be a bit cold when I'm not interested, not in a rude way, but to just be like, there will be no false hope here. So I was very confused. I was like, okay.
Yeah, but it's a bit self-defense also. I feel like that's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Even better when the other person understands.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they just kissed me and I was so confused. So I kissed them back for a bit and I was like, what is happening?
Mm.
You know, this is also what happens if you don't kind of talk. You sometimes find yourself in situations where you're like,
and sometimes you feel like the moment is over, like, shit, what do we need to do now?
You're already in the kiss for some reason, like, but
and I feel like there's some, like, I don't know if it's people pleasing dynamics, but you don't want to be rude or like don't want to bruise an ego and be like, okay, maybe I go with it, but you don't really feel it, and then at some point you'll be like, hey, what are we doing? Because I've had situations where like this, I think, even where like some sort of consent talk was initiated and I was like, hey, I didn't even know this was a date because I'm not dating. I'm not fun and flirty. I'm just friendly.
So I love that. Okay. That's a very awkward situation.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
We're friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like those dynamics where just somebody starts kissing, I think that's always a bit like, oof, this hurts because I don't want to, and this sounds bad, but like disappoint you.
Yeah.
And that's why we had this category of like saying no, because saying no is still difficult. I've noticed that like very recently still when I'm not like aware of this like potentially sexual or romantic situation where I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know it was that. And then it feels like, okay, I didn't have this talk beforehand. So now it's hard to tap out because you don't want to be rude or like, it's not rude, but you feel like, oh, this is weird now.
Yeah, you're kind of put into a situation where you're like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it can also be weird to be like, hey, this is not like, I don't want to kiss you today. And the other person's like, I didn't want to kiss. This is not a thing like that. And you don't want to be like presumptuous in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot with like queer dates where I'm like, is it a date? Is it not a date?
Yeah.
The stress. And then you have to ask if it's a date. And it's like, ah. But it is a lot better before you kind of hop into a road where it gets even more awkward. So sometimes you just gotta
push.
Ask. Yeah. Just gotta ask.
Yeah, and the times where I have been direct with that before, I've never regretted it. Yeah, you can even like put a disclaimer like, if it's not that kind of thing, that's cool. I just want to preface with like,
yeah,
I'm not interested in a date
yeah,
or like I'm not
anything
dating,
romantic,
I'm not looking
and sexual.
Yeah,
for sure. It's also important to understand that consent is not only for like explicitly sexual things. For instance, yeah, okay, kissing, but also one big thing I have is that when I'm on dates, men love to put their hand on my thigh.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I really, my entire body's like, ugh. And they don't ask, they just do it and like start stroking it. And I'm like, please do not. This is not,
yeah,
this is a very sexual gesture. Why, we're outside in a restaurant, what are you doing? Ask.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, consent kind of even starts with touching and, yeah, making sure you're in a datey situation where the date is going in that direction.
Totally, yeah. Because it can snowball quickly, I've learned. Because, for instance, I like those little touches and intimacies like that, but I've also learned the hard way that it, like, can escalate quickly. Because maybe they haven't, we didn't talk about it, and then they had their hands on my thigh, and then they want more, and I'm like, huh, what? No.
Wait.
Hold on. We didn't even, like, talk about, like, chapter one, and now you're, like, much more.
Now you're naked. Wait.
And we're in a public place.
I'm dressed as in the middle of the restaurant. Okay.
No, what you mean? I mean, I've told you this one story where I was at this party and this guy talked to me and it was nice and we talked more and then it got very flirty very quickly and I was like so confused. We were like, oh, you're in a relationship? And then I was like, and then like this big thing with like open relation was like, oh shit, now I know.
And you were like, I'm safe, and then not.
And yeah, I was like, oh my god, the safety of the relationship is gone. And I was like, shit, now I'm in this situation. But it felt like too late, and then it was like this awkward, very like physical moment, and it was so hard to like get out of there, and so awkward.
Yeah.
Because
I do think it's a pleasing thing.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting because especially like Flinter, we discussed the term before, are very much socialized to kind of not be this disruptive force to say no and to kind of just be like, and to kind of try to casually slide their way out of a situation.
Yeah.
Also when you're like asked for your number and you're like, no, I have a partner, instead of just being like, no, I'm not interested, because you're like so terrified.
It's also this hope that this passiveness really gets interpreted in the right way, that, mm-hmm. okay, I hope the other person like checks that I'm not interested, because I would do more if I would be.
Yeah.
But it's a classic thing that like women or femme people, their friendliness or politeness is getting
mistaken
for like interest, for sexual interest, yeah. or romantic interest.
Which is oftentimes stressful. Yeah. And then, especially when the person's super nice, but you're just not into them, to then kind of feel guilty that you're not into them and that you then have to tell them no.
Yeah. And sometimes you do like them, right? But not in that way.
Yeah, for sure. So consent, I think.
Yeah. Just do the awkward thing and say, no.
But I also think it's okay if you're not ready immediately to belt out the no.
I mean, I wasn't ready, so yeah. it's easier to say.
It's easier to kind of wiggle yourself out of the situation at first, okay? But I do imagine it must be very empowering. Actually, no, I don't know. It can be very empowering. Just be like, nope, I'm not doing this or not interested. And yeah. I think that's important also, even when you're already in a date scenario, to realize like, no, this is not what I'm interested in. Or also to be like, with this topic of staying over or not staying over, or how much aftercare you want, or how much time you then still want to spend with the person. I think this is also interesting, because recently a friend of mine was on a date, and after she was like, they didn't leave. Because they like to chill a lot after, and she doesn't.
Mm.
And she was kind of like, okay, I felt a bit trapped, because it was super nice, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then after, she was kind of like, how do I articulate now that I don't chill for like 5 hours after? I just kind of go home and do my thing.
Mm.
So yeah, I think the beforehand talk, the more extensive, the less awkward situations you land in.
Totally. And even during, it's weird that we have this dynamic where if we would talk more, the situation would clear up. Because if she would be like, hey, this was super nice, I like you, but you need to leave, I need to leave.
Yeah.
We need to do things. And you can still be friendly or elaborate
your
preferences. The other person wouldn't like get the wrong message. They would still maybe feel like, okay,
yeah,
I didn't do anything wrong. It's just their preference. But instead we like tense up and be like, okay, what am I gonna do? Nothing. But that's very human, I think, or like very the way we were raised.
Yeah. So I think consent and giving and rejecting can also be very freeing. And I do find it super sexy also. I know that people are like, it ruins the mood. But it is so incredibly hot to me when someone asks, like, do you like this?
Totally.
Or should I do this?
And it alleviates so much fear also, right? Because, I mean, the first time with someone or like doing something new can be a bit frightening. And having this person who you can trust or who is interested in having a safe environment or like a pleasurable moment, that's like very reassuring.
It's super reassuring. And also, I think if you are already in a space before anything happens where you feel kind of like unsafe to say no, it's such a red flag, because
it's like a rule to be like, hey, no.
Yeah, because really the other side of not giving consent is rape. And I think there's also stories we could tell about that. But I think we have chosen today to kind of not make a very re-triggering episode for all people who have been traumatized or are struggling. But I also think, especially after these traumatizing experiences, consent is, or this consent guideline and having a very, very rigid structure is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really recommend everyone who is seeing people who don't react well to you saying no or to you changing your mind, to really reevaluate if this is someone you can safely explore your sexuality and your pleasure with.
Totally. It's such a good rule of thumb, because sometimes even your gut already tells you like, ooh, I'm not comfortable with that person, or like even telling that person my boundaries or like initiating the talk. So maybe that's already your body or like your consciousness or like subconscious telling you something. Yeah.
For sure.
Warning you.
Just as when you are seeing people who really make sure to check in and are very much behind it, can be very reassuring and a really positive experience, especially when you're coming out of trauma.
Yeah.
But even if you're not, it's just mandatory to always check in and to give consent and to be feel safe to retract. So
totally.
I think that is a big, yeah, it's not even a flag. It's just mandatory for me to, it's on my checklist. How well does my opposite person do the whole consent thing, for sure.
Yeah, and it's also, as we said before, it's not a binding contract. So it's not just with new people, but also with like partners that you've had like for a short time, for a long term. It's good to practice consent, to check in on them, even outside of sex or sexual activities. Yeah.
Because just having boundaries and learning how to articulate them is super freeing and will bring you to a better place for yourself sexually and otherwise.
Yeah. And of course, it's not easy. It can be difficult. Also, depending on persons or like situations, it's not always the same. Every situation has its own like weird machinations. Sometimes you're going to do it wrong, but it's always good to keep trying.
Yeah, it is a learning process. And as we mentioned before, there are a lot of materials on how to practice consent on Cheeks. So with the code CHEEKSYCHATS in the description, you can check out the materials. You can test 7 days for free Cheeks. There's more information down below to help guide you along to have more pleasurable sex, safer sex, consensual sex, and to empower yourself to have your boundaries.
Yeah.
And yeah, with that, we want to thank you for listening in today.
How was it for you?
Did you like
it? Was it good?
Would you like us to adjust something next time? If yes, write in the comments.
So yeah, see you next time on Cheeksy Chats.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.